So, Charlotte, you're the last talk. Everyone, I'm sure, is well aware of Charlotte Gaydos. Has done a huge amount for STIs internationally and also domestically. And Charlotte works at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore. She's our regional director for International Union Against STIs and also president-elect, and will be taking over from me as president in the future. Charlotte, as USTI representative regional director for North America, I think we have to understand North America does involve Canada, so it's a little bit different to just the USA. But obviously, I don't think any Canadians in the room, but it's often a small part of a big continent. So Charlotte does wear the hat for both countries. But it's obviously a lot easier to work in that setting. They're both well-off countries as compared to some of the issues that you've heard about in other parts of the world. So Charlotte's going to talk to us about how do we reach the most vulnerable populations for STI testing in North America. Charlotte.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
David, so I chose for my topic for challenges and advances is the challenge that we have for reaching people in North America. We normally just depend on people to come to the doctor, but we also realize, particularly for young people, that we need to go outside of the clinic and find them. So I have some disclosures. I've worked with different diagnostic companies for bringing different diagnostic kits to market through the FDA. So we know, of course, that most STIs occur in those younger than 25 years of age in all of North America. And we have special challenges with these teenagers. They're busy, they're connected, they take time out on the weekends, I think, to have sex. But then during the week, they're connected, they're too busy, they don't go to the doctor, and they don't want their parents to know that they're sexually active, of course. So we think that these challenges need special types of outreach methods and new paradigms so that we can educate adolescents and young adults about the importance of getting screened for STIs. So the outline of my talk is I will discuss some new paradigms, many of which have been adapted by CDC and ASHA and through their websites. And then we have internet and social media. How many people in the audience have teenagers? Lots, pretty many, and you all know that they're pretty much connected to Twitter or the internet or something with their cell phones. So we're going to discuss under social media, sex education, sexual health, condoms, risk quiz awareness to make them realize that they are at risk for STDs, some of the tests, some of the results, and then treatment. So this is kind of a fun lecture, you'll see lots of websites. It's just meant to tickle your mind a little bit to appreciate that these are some of the things that our teenagers are engaged in. And then there's an opportunity, in addition to social media, to reach these kids at school-based clinics and home testing and then other alternative venues. So here's the STD website for the Center for Disease Control. And you can see that across the top there, if it's not too sensitive a computer, yeah, that they can get information on that they can get information on STD testing, STD vaccines, questions that are asked. And then they can also search on their own for an STD testing locations. They can just type in their zip code and a map will come up on the CDC website to show them where to go. Here is ASHA's website. And additionally, they can search for information about sexual health and other resources and get involved and how to talk to their parents and talk to their teachers. So these are two very helpful national websites. ASHA, in addition, has a special website just for teens and has a Hispanic site. So what about sex education? A lot of teenagers don't get their sex education from very reputable places. So this is a site by teens for teens. And it's easy for them to click on what would you like to learn about? Birth control, sex, relationships, your body, pregnancy, and it's a very nice website, and they can also listen to different stories. They also can select who would they like to talk to, and then get information online like they were speaking to this individual. Here's one that is out called Before Play, and it talks about birth control, pregnancy, STIs, has a movie about questions that you might want to talk to your partner about. I believe this one is about from Colorado. What about condoms? A lot of questions about condoms. Well, this website has a game that you can play, and will teach teenagers how to use condoms. The condom finder can you can type in your zip code and find out where in your city you can get free condoms at all the different locations. Here's a website called Condoms and More. Again, how to use a condom. What do I do before I put one on? How do I put one on? And here's another teen source, where to get free condoms. Here's another website called Take Control. And you can also type in your zip code, and it will show you all the places in the Philadelphia. I believe this is out of Philadelphia's website for STIs. So for sexual health and questions and answers, the very reputable site that's been around for a long time is Go Ask Alice, and this has really good information. We all know there's a lot of bad information on the internet, and so we like to recognize some of the better sites. So we have a sexual risk awareness quiz on our internet site, which asks six simple questions, and you will get a score at either very high risk, intermediate, or low risk. And we do know now that high risk score correlates with STI positivity significantly. And you can see this on poster TP12 by our group. But here's the quiz. Are you 25? Have you had a new partner or multiple partners in the last 90 days? Do you have a concurrent partner? Have you ever been told or had an STI? How many partners do you have? And then when you have sex, do you use condoms? So they're all associated with points. And on the internet site, you can just go click, 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 and you get your score. And we think that this might enable people to decide, hey, maybe I should really order a test kit. We also have on some of our advertisements a QR code that individuals can click on and take them to the website to get a kit, a free kit from I Want the Kit. So here's our new kit. We know that 74% of Americans use the internet, and 59% to 80%, depending on whether you have access to the internet, go online to look for health information. So we had our old website shown at the top here. It came up in 2004, but we added some new features in 2013 in that an individual could log on with a secure password, select a clinic before ordering a kit. We have new instructions on there about how to collect a sample, and a text or email notification to tell the young adult that their results are ready. So here's an example of some recent data. We just looked last September through May, and you can see that mobile users are much more likely to recently to go online through their mobile site rather than their desktop, and there's not too many people using tablets. Maybe they're too busy to have sex because they're using their tablets, I don't know. But here's our prevalences. Decent prevalence for chlamydia from vaginal, 6.8, 7.4 for trichomonas, and even our rectal kits. And also, you can see here the penile kits for the men, 6.2%, and interestingly, 5.8% for gonorrhea. Not much trich in the men, however. So here's a clinic finder called Sex Etc., where you can actually find a clinic that you can go and get tested. This website is called Zodoc, and you can actually pick your doctor, and they have doctors on there. I think doctors have to pay to get on this site. But what about the results? Hula is a new website that can actually help providers get their results out to individuals. What about partner notification? We all know that you should notify your partners. There's a new website called So They Can Know that's being evaluated in the United States for allowing you to send an anonymous email to your partner. It's a very nice website. I encourage you to look around. There's even a video on there how to talk to your partner if you want to talk to them instead of sending them an anonymous email. And we're all familiar with InSpot to notify your partners. It's been around for a while. So what about the school-based clinics? Well, we know that teenagers, where they have the availability of a school-based clinic, can go there and be treated and tested anonymously. At least their parents don't know. So this is one study we did where the overall prevalence of unduplicated students in a calendar year ranged from 15% to 19%, but yet in a year later, 26% of them were reinfected. Alternative venues for emergency departments exist. We really don't take advantage of a captive audience to screen in our emergency departments. We probably miss 30 to 80% of infected persons by not routinely screening young sexually active adolescents. So here's one study that was done by Supriya Mehta in our emergency department at our Baltimore site, and we had a prevalence of about 4 to 16%, and these people did not have symptoms when they came to the clinic. So we need to think about expanding treatment in North America outside of the clinic so we can increase detection, treatment, and partner notification. And we need to even explore someday being able to send a test home for individuals to test themselves at home. So in conclusion, we're going to need a lot of tools. We need a multi-pronged approach to dealing with STDs in the North America. We need to teach sexual health and prevention. We need to get the people tested, retested, get the partners tested and treated in order to prevent reinfection. So I think we need to think outside of the box and outside of the clinic in North America. So I'd like to thank all my collaborators who helped me put this presentation together.
Thank you, Charlotte. You look amazingly calm and cool considering you've been rushing around. So thank you for sticking to time. We've still got time for some more questions. So if anybody would like to ask a question of any of the speakers. Yes, please, Lou. Do you want to go to the microphone?
I have a question for Charlotte. I know you didn't choose to discuss this, but the drift to me is that another very vulnerable group of people are the elderly who are newly retired in retirement communities. They may be newly single, they may be in areas of the country where there are a lot of retired people. And they are equally vulnerable, and it seems like all the conclusions that you listed apply to them. Do the websites, do you think, apply to them as well?
We don't have an upper age limit for our website. The one I chose to focus this around young individuals because I think they bear the brunt of the infections. However, the newly entered baby boomers into the website in at least the United States, and I'm not sure about Canada, often are re-entering the website or re-entering the dating scene, and we have had positive chlamydia results from an 81-year-old man first, mm-hmm. and a gonorrhea positive result in a 61-year-old woman. So, yes, they are vulnerable, and they aren't as savvy, but many of them that who are now retired are getting very savvy. I can't tell you how many older individuals who retired have now moved over from their little desktop computer to the iPad and mobile phone. So they are becoming more technologically sound, and I think that, you know, we have to include them in our thinking too.
Could you introduce yourself, please? Sorry, I don't know.
No problem. I'm Daniel McCartney, and I work for the Central Office of International Planned Parenthood Federation in London. And I guess the one question I had is for anyone to respond was, we always talk about that there's just really not much financial resources available to be able to do more around STIs. But I was interesting that Amina brought up that they use the Global Fund for the GAS program. And I was wondering if someone just wanted to comment on the opportunities that exist four countries to be able to fund or strengthen their STI-specific programs with the Global Fund.
Is Francis still there at the back? He's going to give a whole lecture on this tomorrow morning if you're fancying getting up at 6:45 for the syphilis symposium. Amina, you may want to talk, and then Francis may want to add a comment at the end.
Francis will have one talk tomorrow, I think, about that. But it was easy for us in Morocco to because a Global Fund in Morocco since I think 5 years ago, and our system is implemented by the Global Fund. We have just
nous avons proposé un projet.
Yes. We propose. We have sent the proposal to Global Fund, and it will be. It was accepted for the 10th round for the Global Fund.
Mm-hmm. Francis, would you like? Yes.
Good afternoon. I'm Francis Ndo. I retired recently from WHO, where I was the coordinator for STI control. There are two publications that you can find in the literature on use of global funds for STI sexual and reproductive health projects. Because at one time, I think you heard earlier today, at one time there was the issue that global fund proposals do not include STIs, and if you include STIs, your proposal will be deemed to be a poor proposal because STIs were not accepted in that. And we did have a discussion while I was still in Geneva with WHO, with the Global Fund, and they did emphasize that if the STI component is in the national strategic plan and the countries recognize that STI control and sexual health are important for them, then they will not turn down or return a proposal which includes STI control. And to prove that, we then looked at the literature and looked at accepted proposals which included sexually transmitted infections components, which is what I'll be talking about tomorrow morning, but it's at 6:45, so if you're there that early, you'll hear about that talk. If not, then you can look up the publication. And it is true that if you submit a proposal that is based on your national strategy, which emphasizes that STI control is key and important for your national programs, and you have evidence for that, the Global Fund does not turn it down. And there are quite a number of proposals that have been accepted with STI control within them.
Thank you. Sadly, we're out of time. I would like to thank all of our five speakers for very good talks that I think demonstrate the challenges that we all face throughout the world. But I think it's really important that we hear about those challenges so that we can each learn from each other. So can you thank all of our speakers and you for participating? Thank you.